can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. I do appreciate that. Here in Psalm 139, guys, David is writing, King David, that we know all about. A large portion of the Old Testament deals with David and his life. And we know David has great ups and very low downs in his life. He's got a huge range in his life as you go throughout it. But David here in this great chapter, by the way, kids, this is a tremendous chapter just to get in and to study. I encourage you to read it, to know it, to learn as much from it as you can. But David, as he goes through this chapter, he starts out in verse number one. I just want to show you this. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. He's talking to God. He's not talking to the kingdom. He's not talking to his friends. He's not talking to his family. He's talking to God directly. All right. And he's praying to him. And he, in this chapter, describes who God is. You know, I think it's really important that we know, young people, teenagers, all of us here, that we know who God is. Listen, there's a lot of false information about God today. A lot of, Brother Bob, as we were talking, a lot of churches that don't represent the Lord in the right way. But we need to know who our God is, and David does that. And by the way, you say, yeah, that's important for David that long, long time ago. No, it's important for you in 2023. Listen, if you're 8, if you're 10, if you're 12, if you're 14, 16, if you're about to graduate, wherever you are in the whole spectrum here, listen, you need to know who God is. That's so important. That affects the way you think. That affects the way you talk. That affects where you go, who you hang with. Every aspect of your life, it should affect it. And David says, Lord, I know who you are. You say, all right, what is God like? Kids, first of all, he has omniscience. He knows everything. I'm not going to deal with all these things in detail, but verses 1 through 6, David describes how God knows everything. He perceives everything. He knows everything there is to know about you. Amen. Everything. He says, Lord, you've searched me. You've known me. That word know keeps popping up. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. God knows what you're thinking right now. Right. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it all together. God knows every word we say before we say it. Amen. Verse 6. David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You know what he's saying? I can't even comprehend that. I can't even fathom that. That God knows everything there is to know. Hey, God knows the things that don't even happen. What could have happened? What could potentially happen? Listen, there's sometimes we leave our house and we're running a few minutes late and we get out to the main road and oh my goodness, there's a terrible accident there. You know, God knows that if we left maybe a few minutes earlier, we would have been in that accident. I thank God for his protection, but God knows all these things. God is in control of every aspect of life. David says, I can't even take that in. I can't even comprehend that. That's such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. It blows my mind. By the way, I wonder how fascinated you are with our God. A lot of young people, they're fascinated with athletes and celebrities and actors and actresses and what the latest garbage song that just came out on CD is or download. Listen, you ought to be fascinated by our God. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. He's saying, God, I know that you know everything. You're omniscient. You have all knowledge. Verses 7 through 12, he not only says, God, you know, you know, you know, you know. Verses 7 through 12, he's saying, God, you're there. You're there. And that's talking about the omnipresence of God. There's not a place that you can go where God doesn't see you, where God doesn't detect you. Verses 7 through 12, again, I won't read all of these. But he's saying, if I go here, God's still with me. If I go there, God's still with me. If I could go as fast as humanly possible, God could still catch up to me. He's saying, there's no place I can hide. There's no place I could run. He's saying, if I could just close myself up in the darkness, that still wouldn't hide me from God. God still sees me. Hey, kids, wherever you go, God sees you. He's there. Listen, when you're at home, he's there. He sees you. When you're with your friends, when you're trying to impress them, when you're online, he sees everything that goes on. He's everywhere all the time at the same time. He's not only a God of perception, he's a God of presence. He's everywhere at the same time, all the time. You know, that can be comforting for us. Listen, no matter how down you are, how deep, it may seem and how rough the circumstances are, you know God's with you. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He never abandons you. He's always with you. Listen, that can be comforting. Listen, whatever you're going through today, God's there. He's with you. And he wants to hear your prayer. But you know, not only can that be comforting, that can be convicting too. Maybe you're sneaking around. You think nobody else knows. Your mom doesn't know. Your dad doesn't know. Your teacher doesn't know. Your bus captain doesn't know. Can I tell you, God knows. And he's there and he sees it. So it can be comforting and convicting. And God is a God of perception. He knows everything. He knows all that there is to know. He's a God of presence. He is everywhere. And then verses 13 through 16, it talks about He's a God of all power. He's omnipotent. God can do anything. And you know, the illustration that God uses is kind of strange. If I would think we're going to talk about God's strength, His power, that He's all powerful, I would think He's going to talk about creating the world. I would think another great instance is when Jesus was risen from the dead. I mean, dead. 3 days He was dead, and yet God raised Him back to life. That's huge power, right? God doesn't use about creation. He doesn't use about the resurrection. You know what He does? The forming of a baby in their mother's womb. Miss Christina, that kind of blows me away, and I think, that's power? Yes, that's power. That's power. That's amazing because, listen, no human can replicate that. They can study in a laboratory all they want, but they can't come up with life. Listen, God is the one that forms that baby in its mother's womb, as we just talked about. We have our young baby at home now. You know, they told us when we my wife went to her first appointment, we found out about everything. They said, you know, the baby at this point, this was really early on. I don't even remember how many weeks in. But they said, you know, the baby at this point is probably about the size of the tip of your pinky. What? That blows me away. You know who's in control of that? God. God's in control of that. God's the one that gives life. And yet, over time, that baby will develop, and its different body parts, and its different brain functions, and all the different things. And now, you know, this kid doesn't want to sleep enough, but he sure does want to eat, all right? He's growing, and yeah, he's getting a little belly on him and all this, and I'm thinking, this is amazing! Listen, from something that started out as the tip of my pinky, and now he's growing and growing and growing. Miss Christina thinks he's going to be taller than me. I don't know, but we'll find out, all right? Yeah, at least it'll take a little while before I find out about that. Got to revel in it now while I'm taller, all right? He's a God that knows everything. He's a God that's everywhere. He's a God of all power. And you know what else? He's a God that has plans for your life. Verses 17 and 18, and then I'll get to the message. You're like, yeah, I hope you will, all right? Verse 17. David says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You know what David's saying? God, you have all knowledge, all power. You're everywhere present. But God, you have plans for my life. That verse says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Listen, he's saying those are plans, dreams, goals, desires that God has for me. Does that not blow you away? A God with all power, He's everywhere present, He knows everything. He says, you know what? I got plans for her life. I got plans for his life. And let's dive into this. He said these are precious plans. He says how great is the sum of them. That's the number of them. He said if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. All right, got a challenge for you kids. Think you're fancy with your fine arts, all right? Let's go out to the beach, and I say, all right, you think you're fancy? Go count all the grains of sand. You'd be like, you count the grains of sand, right? Hey, you could just get a handful, and that would keep you busy the whole day.
Yes, sir.
And knowing us, we'd probably lose count halfway and be like, oh, what was that? Was that 33,000? You know, you lose count. Got to start over. He says, God has so many plans for your life, it's more than the sand that's on the seashore. For your life. Wow. You know what we need to do? You know what we need to do? We need to get serious with God and say, God, what are some of those plans for me? You know, everybody's worried about fulfilling our own dreams. And man, I got to make money, and I want to live here, and I want to drive this, and I want to live in this house, and I want people to think this of me. How about we get in tune with God and say, God, what do you want for me? Can I tell you, God's plans for you are a lot better than any of our plans for ourselves. We've got to get in tune with that. Say, God, what are your plans for me? But then he gets into our last section of the chapter, and I just want to bring this to you today. And you know what it's truly all about? As I'll just skip to the point, God wants us to go to the next level. Listen, young people, you can't always do right because of your parents. You can't always do right because of your teachers. You can't always do right because of your mentors. And by the way, you need to thank God for those that he's put in your life. Listen, your teachers care about you. I was sitting back there while you guys were doing the songs and getting things ready. This is an exciting atmosphere. You're like, yeah, until you stood up, you know, but you ruined everything, Brother Tom. Listen, but this is an exciting atmosphere. Man, it's cool to be in this place where you guys are excited about living for God. You're happy to be here. That's awesome. You know, your teachers put a lot of prayer and a lot of work and a lot of things behind the scenes. Appreciate that. Listen, some of your parents, they sacrificed to send you here. They're already paying for public school, and now they pay for a private school too. Appreciate that. But you can't always do right because of your parents or teachers or mentors. There must come a time when you want to please God for yourself. Hey, we've got to go to the next level here. Hey, there will come a time in your life where you won't go to Woodlawn Baptist Academy anymore. So you won't have those teachers saying, did you read your Bible this week? You won't have those teachers saying, how you doing? Is everything going okay in your life? Listen, you've got to go to the next level for yourself. How do we do that? How do we do that? How can we go to the next level? How can we love God for ourselves and adore Him and honor Him and serve Him for ourselves? I got a couple quick ideas I want to throw at you. First one is this. If you want to go to the next level in your life, what does it take? First of all, you have to make a decision to reject some things. You have to make a decision for yourself to reject some things. Listen, Ethan, we were talking about it last night. Our world is so wicked, it's everywhere. It's pervasive. It's crowding in on you. You know what? If you want to live for God nowadays, today, you know what you got to do? You got to say no to certain things so you can say yes to God. Amen. That's what David says in verses 19 through 22. There's a decision to reject. I just want to start out in verse 21, though. He says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. He's saying, I've made a decision to reject some things in my life. It reminds me of Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what all that's saying, young people? If you want to live for God, if you want Him to be pleased with your life, you got to say no to some things. Hey, in this room today, maybe you need to say no to some wrong music, some TV shows that you know don't please God. Maybe there's some friends. Hey, they might even be sitting next to you today where you got to say, you know what? I'm going to separate myself. You know why? Because I want to be pleasing to God. I got to go next level. Listen, you're never going to go next level for God if you're so worried about what He's going to say about you, what she's going to say about you, and you're so worried about the crowd around you. Be more worried about the God that lives above you and the God that lives in you. Listen, we've got to go to the next level. You've got to make a decision to reject some things in your life. Hey, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. You can't do both. I can't do both. I can't say, I'll serve God on Sunday. The rest of the week, it's all about me. It's not going to work. You're either going to go one way or the other. You're either going to be pulled one way or the other. You on your own, you've got to make up your mind saying, I'm going to live for God on purpose. You've got to decide to reject some things. There's plenty of people that are against God. It's popular nowadays to be against God. But you know, we've got to get away from that defilement. The end of verse number 19, he says, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. David's saying, I'm getting away from that junk. I'm not going to hang around that stuff and then say, oh God, I need you. I've got to remove myself. I've got to depart from that. I've got to separate from that. And by the way, verse number 21 at the end of it, he says, am not I grieved with those that rise up against me? That really stuck out to me. Am I not I grieved? You know what he's saying? It bothers me. Hey, young people, does it bother you when other young people your age turn away from God? Does that bother you? Does that break your heart? You know, if we don't watch it, the things of this world can become a joke to us. Hey, usually when I hear the young people talking about this certain topic of drugs, it's usually in a joking form. Does it ever grieve you? Does it ever grieve you? When we talk about people drinking, yes, oh yeah, the drunk over there acting like a fool, and we laugh. Does it ever grieve you that that stuff is destroying lives, destroying families? Does it ever burden your heart? Hey, we kid around about all these things and we make them a joke. You know, I heard some quote where it says the devil will make it to where you will never be offended by what he can get you to laugh at. Whew. And you know what? We sit around and we watch sin on the TV. We click on sin on the internet. We watch these videos that are all about sin, and we laugh and we laugh and we laugh and we laugh. And we're getting farther and farther and farther into the devil's trap for us. Does it ever grieve you? Hey, do you see your friend going down the wrong way and it bothers you, and you pray for them and you say, please don't do that, and you're encouraging them to get back on the right track? I hope so. Does it grieve you? Does it bother you? Hey, young people, I love having a good time and laughing, but not everything in life is a joke.
Hey, the devil's no joke. Him destroying lives, that's no joke. And by the way, living for God is a serious thing. We want to please Him. We're not playing around with this. Listen, we don't have Woodlawn Baptist Academy because we have nothing else to do. This is serious. Your lives matter to the Lord. But I hope that it matters to you to live for God. We see all these people against God. We know that we need to step away from it ourselves. And you know, they announced their defiance against God, verse number 20. Notice what these people do, these evil, wicked people, verse number 20. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. He's saying you can tell they're against God by how they talk. Hey, there's music out there. They announce that they're against God by how they talk. There's shows. They announce they're against God by their dirty jokes and by their innuendos and by their curse words. They do it by how they talk. Listen, there's young people. You can just listen to them talking. You say, man, something ain't right here. He says they speak against God wickedly and thine enemies take thy name in vain. By the way, notice that. It says his enemies take God's name in vain. Listen, why would I let words come out of my mouth that are characteristic of the enemies of God? You say, what are you talking about? Like OMG? A Christian shouldn't say that. Why should I let words come out of my mouth that the enemies of God say? He said, do not thine enemies take thy name in vain. Listen, we shouldn't talk like that. Those words shouldn't come out of our mouths. Those should be characteristic of the wicked. Amen. But you know, there's an assured defeat. They're going down. Verse number 19 at the beginning. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Hey, can I tell you, there's coming a time they're going down. Kids, in our world, it's lifted up. It's praised. It's exalted. It's the popular thing. Don't follow the trends, because you know why? God says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. They will go down. Maybe not now, but it will happen. That's right. You mark it down. You stick with God. It's a sure thing. They're going down. And you know what he's saying throughout this whole section? He's saying, I'm going to align myself with God. I'm going to stay close to God. Listen, it's popular to do wrong. It's popular to say the wrong things and to be against God. That's what's going on in the world. David says, I'm going to get away from that. And God, I'm going to align myself with you. Verses, again, 21 and 22. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I'm grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. By the way, you don't necessarily have to hate the people, but you should hate what they stand for.
Right.
And you know what David's saying throughout this whole section? I believe he's saying, God, I'm going to stay close to you. I'm not going to fit in with what's popular. I'm not going to go along with all the latest songs and all the latest trends of this world. Forget all that. Lord, I'm going to line myself up with you. That needs to be what you strive for, a decision to reject. Have you made that? Do you want to go to the next level? Do you want to be a Christian that pleases God, that lasts over the long haul? You have to make a decision to reject these things. Number two, you got to make this daring request, a daring request. Verse number 23, Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Kids, that is a strong prayer. This is not, you don't hear this commonly. This is not something that's thrown around lightly. David says, God, you search me and you know me. You know my heart. You try my thoughts. God, you know everything about me. You know what he's saying? God, find the problem in me. I call this message next level because, you know, Miss Christina, we can just try to get through our time in school and hopefully we don't get in trouble too much. And hopefully, Miss Tamara, the teachers don't discover some of our secret sins. And hopefully we won't have to go to pastor's office to have a talk with him because we got in trouble. I mean, hopefully we can just keep it under wraps. Hopefully we can just keep it concealed. Hopefully we can just keep it covered for a while. And Ethan, one day we'll be out of here and we can go, quote unquote, do what we want to do. Can I tell you, you're missing the whole point. And by the way, if you have a strong desire like that, you may not even be saved. Listen, but I think young people, we have this mindset. Well, yeah, I can do it because that's really who I am. That's really what I'm all about. But I don't want her to find out and him to find out. Can I tell you, you're missing the whole point because God already knows about it. David says, you search me, O God. Hey, you want to go to the next level? Make this daring request. Hey, this takes some guts. This takes some courage. He's saying, God, I need you to check me out. God, I need you to examine me. God, I need you to scrutinize me. Listen, can I tell you, that does take it to a whole nother level. In my life, kids, I'm not just trying to please the pastor. Now, I hope that the pastor is pleased with me. But I'm not just trying to please him. I'm not just trying to please the leadership in our church, Brother Tut and Brother Bob and different ones. Well, I hope they think well of me. I hope they do. But you know what? That's not the driving force of my life. Because you know what? Brother Bob can be pleased with me, Pastor and Brother Tut and all the other leaders in the church. They can think I'm the greatest guy in the world. But if I'm hiding sin in my heart, God knows differently. And I'm missing the whole point. I'm missing the entire thing. And listen, all your teachers can think well of you, and they should. But what are you really after? Who are you really trying to please? The daring request. He's saying, God, search me, know my heart. You know what stuck out to me, Brother Bob? He's just gotten done talking about the wicked. And you know what we want to do a lot of times? We want to measure ourselves against them. They talk against you, God. They're listening to wicked music. They're cussing all the time. They're always involved in wickedness. They hate you, God. And then we want to say, man, I'm a lot better than them. Good grief, I'm like perfect compared to them. That's not what David does. David just gets on the heels of saying, God, they're against you. And God, I've separated myself. And I know they're going down and all these different things. God, I don't want to follow them. But then you know what he says? God, you search me. God, you search me. Because you know what, kids? We can measure ourselves against the world all the time. And we'll always look better than them. Brother Jerry, I've never gotten drunk. I've never messed with alcohol. I've never done this. I've never gone to these wild, crazy parties. Obviously, I'm better than them. Listen, can I tell you, you can never go to a party. You can never drink. And those are great goals to have. You can never mess around with all the filthy things of this world, but still not be right with God. You know what it takes to be right with God? You have to ask God, God, you search me. Because kids, there can be problems going on in my heart and my mind that you never know about. But God knows all about him. He's saying, God, you search me. He doesn't measure himself against something that's not even close. You know, we can do that all the time. Listen, if you're measuring yourself in your class later on today against the worst student in the class, that's not a good measure, right? Well, that kid can't even write his name on the test. Well, don't measure yourself against him. You know, aim a little higher. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, I'm not as smart as some of the top of the class. Okay, well, do your best. Do your best. But if we're always measuring against something way down here, I mean, Brother Joe, I'm not good at basketball, but if I'm playing against the three-year-olds, I'll probably look like dominant. You know, I'll look like Giannis or the old, you know, take that, little kid, you know. Go cry to your mama, you know. Listen, if I'm going up against that, obviously I'm going to look like an all-star. You guys like, do you do that? No. Only once. No, I'm kidding. I know. Listen, but if we measure ourselves against that, we're always going to look fine. The Bible says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. If the way we are, if we check ourselves out, we'll always be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Oh, yeah, I got it going on. Listen, we can't check ourselves. You ever try to check your own test? I know the teachers are like, no, we don't do that around here. Because you'll be like, well, yes, I got that wrong. But I actually thought of the right answer, so I'm just going to give myself credit for it, right? We're always going to bend it. We're always going to mess around. We're always going to excuse it and justify it and say, well, technically, did I mark the wrong answer? Yes, but no. Stop all that. We always want to contour and change it how we want it. You know what? God's rules don't change. And that's why he says, God, you got to search me. And kids, we can't be measuring ourselves against the wicked people of the world and say, yeah, I'm doing great. He's saying, God, no, I want to be like you. I want to measure myself by you. Real quick, let me fly here. He's saying, God, you search me. He's pleading for this. He's asking for this. Kids, have you ever asked God to search your heart? Miss Christina, Miss Tamara, if we would have young people that would say, God, you search my heart, then I don't think we'd have them sneaking around doing wicked things behind the scenes and hoping not to get caught. Listen, when you're doing right, you don't have to hope not to get caught because you're not doing anything.
Right.
You're living clean before God. If I live my life in the presence of God, then I don't have to worry. Oh, no, pastor's going to find out this scandal about me. No, because I'm living my life before him, open before him. God, this is who I am. And God, I need you to clean me. The daring request. He's pleading with God. God, you search me. He's going to the person of God. Can I tell you, that takes guts. That takes guts. I've known people that when they want to share their business with somebody, they go to somebody not even on their same spiritual level. They go to somebody way below them that they know won't call them out. Bro, I just want to, something was on my heart, man. I just want to let you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I don't really think it's that big a deal. And the other guy, yeah, you're right. That's not going to help you. Go to somebody at least on your spiritual level, if not above you, and say, what do you think about this? Listen, it's amazing to me, Ms. Christina, some of the guys in my class, they won't tell me really the issues in their life. But they'll tell some new kid that don't know his head from a hole in the ground, dude, you know, I struggle with this. That's not going to help you. You're just passing your dirt around. You're probably going to push him farther down. The daring request. He's pleading with God. He's saying, God, you've got to check me out. He's saying, God, you don't miss a thing. You have perfect knowledge. And he penetrates. He's saying, God, I want you to know my heart and my thoughts. Psalm 19:14 says this, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If we could live at that level, young people, we never have problems grow out of hand. We never have scandals that the lid gets blown off. And we, oh my goodness, how long have they been doing this? How long has she been seeing this? How long have they been saying this? How long have they been listening to this? Listen, your teachers may not know all the problems. Pastor may not know all the problems. I may not know all the issues going on. But you know, you need to ask God to search you and get down to the root of the problem now. You can hide it from us. You can hide it from even your parents sometimes. But can I tell you, all you're doing when you're hiding it, you're just allowing that problem to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. How many young people have we seen in this church that they've got some secret issues going on in their life and they never take care of them? They never go to God and get them right? And now they're in their 20s and we see the full manifestation of those problems. Kids that used to sit in these same pews, listen to the same kind of preaching. And now all these problems are in their life. Why? Because they didn't get it taken care of when they were small problems. The daring request. He's saying, God, please search me. Hey, young people, have you ever asked God, God, would you search my heart? God, I want to be right with you. I want to love you. But God, search my heart. Find out what's going on in me. And then let's take it to number three. The details are revealed. Verse number 24, the beginning. He's saying, see if there be any wicked way in me. What word pops out to you that shows that he wants the details? Can somebody tell me? Ethan? Any wicked way in me. Again, this is a daring prayer. This is a gutsy prayer, courageous prayer. I don't know about you. There's not too many times in my life that I go to God like this, but I need to. If I want to be right with him, if I want to be the kind of husband that I need to be to my wife, if I want to be the kind of father that I need to be to our little son, listen, I need to ask God to search me. I don't need to cover it up and I'll be fine. I'm better than a lot of people. No. If I'm going to go to the next level, I got to say, God, you search me. And then he says, God, reveal the details. See if there be any wicked way in me. We don't like to pray like that. You know what we say, God? If there's some huge, massive problem in my life that's about to boil over and really blow up and the whole church finds out and I'll have shame and disgrace all over my life for the next 30 years, Lord, if I got some kind of problem like that, then Lord, let me know about it. Listen, when it gets to that point, everybody's going to know. You know what he says? God, see if there be any wicked way in me. Anything, the smallest thing. You know what he's saying? I don't want to wait, Brother Bob. Maybe I have an anger problem. I don't want to wait until I blow up over 50 people at church and by the end of the day, everybody hates me and think, you know, it seems like this sometimes that people do that kind of stuff. And then Robbie, they're like, you know, I'm not sure. And I don't want to be hard on myself, but you know, maybe I got an issue here. And you're like, you think? You know, you're like, are you kidding me? You know, like Sunday morning you see me, and I hope I'm not like this. I try not to be. But like I walk into my class, the guy's, hey, Brother Tom, how you doing? Be quiet. I don't have time for you. Are you kidding me? And then, you know, by the end of the day, Brother Gerald, you know, taking some time of reflection, Brother Bob. I'm not totally sure, but maybe I've got just a little issue. No, you got a huge issue. Like, wake up. That's not okay. Hey, it's not okay for you to be arguing with your parents. Hello? It's not okay for you to be disrespecting your teachers. Can I tell you, that problem has grown and it's overflowing. You know what we need to take? If I got an anger problem, I don't need to wait till I blow up over 50 people and then say, maybe I got an issue here. You know what I need to do? I need to go to God when I just have the thought. You ever feel the anger just rising up within you like a volcano?
Yes.
It always reminds me of that Rolaids commercial. I don't know. It used to be. What about they push it down and it's like it was red and now it turns blue? That's kind of how we have to be. When I feel the volcano start to erupt, that's when I need to say, God, you got to stop this now. You got to help me. God, I'm feeling angry. I don't want to hurt Robbie. I don't want to hurt the people in this room. I don't want to hurt my friends, my family. By the way, When you get older, when you get married, you can be like that with your spouse. You can be like that with your children. And I don't want to be like that. I've got to take care of it here before I hurt other people. You understand? That's getting down to the details. God, not just the things that are out in the public, not just the thing that are open to everyone's eyes, but God, show me the underlying problem. You know what we want to do most of the time? I'm almost done. You know what we want to do most of the time? We want to wait till it gets called out. We want to wait till they get on my case about it. Hey. If you have to wait for your teachers to call you aside and talk to you about something, can I tell you, you've let the problem grow too much already. You have. If you have to go to pastor's office, and we've had some students over the years, I've heard stories, you're not around here, but I hear stuff, all right, through the grapevine. Listen, if you have to go to pastor's office, 50 times throughout the semester, dude, maybe you got an issue. I'm just saying. But I've had young people that have had these kind of issues, recurring things. Not one time, a bunch of times. And Mr. Stina, I've sat down and I've talked to them. And I've had kids that used to go to this school, Ms. Tamara, look at me and say, I don't have an issue. I'm good. I don't know. You know what they say? I don't know why my teachers are always on my case. I don't know why my parents have a problem with me. You know what they're doing? They're looking at themselves saying, I'm fine. They look at their test and they got 10 wrong answers and say, well, I didn't really mean to say that. So that's right and that's right. And that's not an accurate record of what happened. You can do that your whole life. Like I said, I could play against a 3-year-old and say, boy, I'm challenging you. Basketball court, you, me, now. And I'd take them down very easily. But you know what? That's not an accurate display of my skills. And that's what we want to do all the time. I've had them sit across from me and say, I don't have an issue. I don't know why. I want to say, dude, why do you think you're sitting, you're here talking with me right now? Why do you think we're having this meeting? Do you think I just say, I just want to sit down with this young person and just get to know them on a more personal level? No. Listen, I pray for them. I want them to do right. But I'm like, dude, the whole reason we're here talking, we're having this meeting is because you have an issue. Amen. That's why we're here. But you're in denial. No, I'm not. You see, you are in denial, Like, dude, are you kidding me? I've had them say it to my face. And Mr. Cena, I'm on the other side of the table, my jaw hits the floor, really? How can you not see this? Hey, it would be foolish of me. So I have this problem in my body, and I go to the doctor, and he does the x-ray, and he says there's a problem. No, you're crazy. I feel fine. Now, yeah, I have that pain every once in a while. Oh, I'm fine, though. I'm good. This doctor don't know what he's talking about. Are we really going to do that? I don't have medical training. I don't know what I'm looking at, but he does. The details need to be revealed. Kids, it may be unseen in public, but we need to ask God, show me the underlying problem. Listen, you may get around your friends and say things you shouldn't and all this. You know what the root cause of it may be? Maybe. Let me blow your mind. Idolatry. Maybe that friend of yours is more important to you than God. That's why every time you get around them, you start saying stuff you shouldn't. Because, Katie, we want so bad to impress them. We want so bad to be accepted by them. Hey, can I tell you who you need to really worry about being impressed and accepted by? Him. Amen. As I said, don't wait till that anger problem gets out of control and you're slashing people left and right with your words. When you start feeling it coming up, say, God, help me. And I hope I don't have a problem with this in the near future. But Miss Christina, if I allow my anger to go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, if you know what I'm saying, if I allow my anger not to just go from level 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, it goes from 1 to 20, right like that. It scares me, Miss Tamara. And I say, God, I don't know what's going on with me, but you got to help me because I don't want to start being like that. I don't want to be able to blow up on people. 2 seconds ago, I was fine, I thought. And then they say one thing and I lay the hammer down on them and then think, whoa, that was quick. That scares me. Now, I do get mad at times. And the Bible says on certain occasions for certain things we can. But, I don't want to get angry too fast. The Bible talks about those that have a quick temper. Right. It's not wise. The underlying problem. Let's ask God. God, what's the root cause? God, I've been back talking to my parents all the time, but what's the deeper problem here? Do I have a disrespect problem? God, do I not love them like I should? Kids, that's where we need to get to. We can tell the doctor, just put a Band-Aid on it. Or we can say, doctor, find out the deeper problem. Because if you keep having these issues that keep popping up, something deeper is going on. Let's ask God to help us with that. And then the last thing, point number four, the direction that's real. You know, after God searches us, after we say no to the world, and after he shows us the details, I'm glad God doesn't just leave us like that.
Amen.
That would be rough if the chapter ended right there and we're just ripped open on the operating table. No, you know what God does? He can, at the end of verse 24, lead us in the way everlasting. I'm glad for that. David said, God, find the problem. God, you tell me the details of it. You tell me about my motives. You tell me about things that secretly I love. And then he says, God, give me direction that's real. Young people, as I said earlier, God has greater plans for your life than you ever could imagine on your own. But you know what? We've got to ask God. God, you search me. You find the problem. You get down to the details of it. You help me with it before it rises up, before it escalates. God, you help me right there. And then he says, God, you lead me in the way everlasting. God, fix me. God, don't just show me what's wrong in my life and don't just get down to the details of it. But God, lead me in the right way. God can do that for you. Hey, sometimes people in church, they say, when I go to that church, I just feel bad because they're preaching against my sin. Listen, that's called conviction. That's a good thing. But you know what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to lead you to repentance so that God can lead you in the right way. Don't just have God say, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. You say, I don't like hearing that. Well, you get no better then. Deal with the conviction, but then say, all right, God, now you got to lead me in the right way. And he can do that. He can fix you. He can correct you. Let me finish up with this. We need his presence leading us. Notice what David says. He doesn't say, God, search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and point me in the way everlasting. Is that what the verse says? You're like, I don't know. Look at the verse. No. You know what he says? Lead me. You know what he's saying? God, I need your presence going with me. Hey, young people, if you want to do better, you say, I used to listen to the wrong music, but I'm trying to do right. I used to say the wrong thing, but I'm trying to do right. Don't do it on your own. Ask God to go with you. Say, God, I don't have the strength to do this. God, maybe I do want to hang around some of those wrong friends, and maybe I do struggle with this, but God, lead me, help me every single day. Lead me in the way everlasting. God, I need your presence leading me. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. If your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. And that's the way we should be. Lord, I've got to have your help. Listen, God will show up. Make sure you show up. The presence leading. I need it present in my life. Why don't you ask God today, God, help me in my class. Help me when I'm walking down the hall. Lead me in the way. When I'm at home today, if my mom tells me to do something, God, help me not to have that disrespect again. If my teacher tells me to do something, help me not to disobey them and backtalk them. God, lead me in the way. In those moments, in those crucial times, that crunch time, help me. Help me to do right. And then the last thing, lead me in the path that lasts. He says, lead me in the way everlasting. You know, when God points out his direction, young people, God doesn't have to make adjustments. God doesn't have to correct it. God doesn't say, oh, okay, go down this way. This is the will of God for your life. And you say, that's great. And then two steps later, oh, I'm sorry. Actually, no, take a left. No, that's not how God works. Listen, when he points out the direction for your life, you can bank on it. That's what God wants for me, and I'm going to keep myself on track. Listen, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way, God, that doesn't change. Lead me in the way, God, that I don't need to adjust. Lead me in the way that I don't need to alter. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. God has a way for each one of you. He has a will for each one of you. You know what you need to do? If you want to get to the next level, don't just wait until your teachers call you out. Don't just wait till you have a meeting with pastor. Don't just wait till you keep getting in trouble with your parents. Why don't you say, God, I want to go to the next level. God, you search me. God, you see the problem. You find out the details of that problem, Lord. Not just the symptoms. Go to the source of it. God, show me the issue in my heart. Show me what's causing these problems to come out of my life. And then after you do that, God, after you break down the problem, after you get down to the small details of it, God, lead me in the way everlasting. God, go with me. Be with me here today at school. Be with me when I'm practicing for fine arts. Be with me when I'm talking to my friends. Be with me when we're goofing around. God, please be with me every step of the way. And God, you're going to stick me on a path that lasts. It's not going to change. I don't have to adjust it as I go. Because as for God, His way is perfect. I hope in Woodlawn Baptist Academy that we have some young people say, you know what? I want to go next level. I want to go to the next level for God. I don't want to just not be a bad kid. I don't want to just hopefully scoot by and not get in trouble too much. I want to be pleasing to God. How do you do that? You got to go to the next level. And these are some of the steps to do it. I hope that was a blessing to you. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.